We're studying 1 Thessalonians to gain insight about how the Holy Spirit works in the church. And the text today really kind of gets at the heart of that matter, how the Holy Spirit imparts energy to change a soul. Our text is in the 5th chapter, verses 19 to 24. Let me read it to you. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good. Avoid every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Mickey and I have lived in our current home about 20 years now. And while we've been there, as many of you, we've kind of tweaked the place a little bit. We've did a little remodeling in the kitchen once. We changed some of the flooring and put in some new utilities, repainted the house inside. We even put some of those gutter things on top, to help with leaves. Home improvements, remodeling is how I, and I think many of us, often feel about sanctification. Notice in verse 23, Paul uses the word sanctify. Now, our eternal salvation, our place in God's family, depends solely on the work of Christ, the work of grace received by faith alone. Sanctification then describes how God works with His saved children, how He rebuilds us, reforges us to make us functionally holy, the way God wants us to be, like Jesus in terms of our character. It's my experience that often we Christians today typically see sanctification as kind of a remodeling project, something relatively small, or at least manageable, contained, taking something good, making it a little bit better, and of course, in accordance with our own designs of how we want things to be. But the truth is, remodeling is one thing. Sanctification is something quite different than that. Superstorm Sandy got me thinking about what people in the Reformed tradition call total depravity. The Bible says that we are dead in sin and that our best righteousness is like filthy rags to God. It's not because God's unreasonable. It's because we're much more messed up than we like to think or even realize, because we spend our time comparing ourselves with each other and not to God's perfect pattern for humanity, which of course is Christ. The Bible gives a completely different view of the impact of sin on the human soul and on the human community. Sin is like a flood. It's impossible for those of us who have never experienced a flood to realize how totally it destroys a house. A flood not only does broad damage, widespread, it also does damage to individual dwellings. Drywall and flooring breed toxic mold, electrical wiring is shot, utilities reduced to shambles. Even if you could get electricity into the area, you couldn't really hook it up because the infrastructure is so bad, and this is true even for homes in which people still must live. When you're born again, you awaken to a profoundly different understanding of just what sin has done. Not only to humanity as a whole, but to you, to your own soul. We come to the Lord completely unsanctified. Some aspects of our lives are cleaner and better functioning than others, but no part of us is truly clean, not wholly clean. Everything we do is for ourselves or for other people. Everything we do, nothing for God. Spiritually speaking, our lives are a mess. All that begins to change when we come to Christ. The love of God in Jesus successfully invades all of our defenses and convinces us that God really is good. He really is best. He really does love me, and I never have to fear Him again. The cross teaches me that. In Christ, God becomes a hero who rescues me. And from then on, the highest aspiration I have in life is to become like Him, like my hero. And that is what it feels like to be born again. And that's also when the truly serious business of rebuilding me actually gets started. And it's a big job. God's single-minded intent, after a person has come to know him, is to rebuild that person completely, through and through. Old thoughts have to be pulled out like ruined wiring, old boundaries ripped away like drywall, our old frame of reference hauled out to the dump like waterlogged floors and ceiling. And room by room, top to bottom, bottom to top, everything needs to be rebuilt. Not in order to save us, but because we have been saved, and now we belong to him. Our house, our soul, is under new ownership. So here's the question. How does God direct the process? What makes it work? How does the Holy Spirit rebuild me according to the blueprint of Jesus' character? You could study sanctification for a long time because there are lots of answers to that question, but Paul has one thing in mind in this text. It's pretty clear. The Holy Spirit pours renewing energy into our souls through the Word of God. The Word of God is not only the sword of the Spirit, an image that we're familiar with more, but the Word of God is also the fire of the Spirit. At the very beginning of the written Word, and the first time it was written down by Moses, God revealed his Word in the context of a self-sustaining fire. When God wanted to contrast the cold and dead words of false prophets, he likened his word to fire. And when that particular prophet wanted to quit because it was so hard, he couldn't, because God's word was like a fire inside of him. He couldn't hold it in. When John the Baptist spoke of the one who would soon come, who would preach the gospel of the kingdom, he likened his spirit to fire. When listeners from all over first heard the apostles declare the wonders of God, they saw a vision of fire over their head. And when Paul urged Timothy to focus on his preaching, he told him to fan that gift into a flame. All these verses have to do with the gift of prophecy. Prophecy. Remember, please, that prophecy in the scriptures does not necessarily involve predicting the future. Prophecy describes God using your mouth to speak his word. In fact, the Old Testament word for prophet is related to the word for mouth. The mouth of the Lord is the prophet of the Lord. Whatever God says, past, present, or future, it's prophecy through a human being. Now, it's true that there were at least some Old Testament prophets who used to speak ecstatically, out of control, sort of in a trance. We know extremely little about them. But that's not the intent of prophecy or inherent in it. Ecstatic speech was never the rule in the Old Testament. Paul understood prophecy as communicating God's word in ways you can understand, and he wanted everybody in the church to be involved in it. It's not inherently ecstatic or uncontrollable. We can all share in the attempt. Especially in the New Testament, prophecy is applying God's word to strengthen faith, to encourage obedience and hope, and to bring comfort in trial. That's what it is. Prophecy is the one gift that every Christian ought to seek to have. Paul envisioned a church in which every member was speaking the word of God to one another. Now, not every Christian has that gift, but the more of us who seek it, the better, because God is very liberal in giving it. Even though it's a gift of God, of course, the exercise of prophecy should never, never be automatically assumed to be accurate. God doesn't make any mistakes when he talks. We just make a lot of mistakes when we listen. When somebody claims to speak for God, the message must always, always be tested against the proven store of Scripture knowledge. It tells us everything we need to know about Christ, about salvation, about faith. We have that, and that must always be used to test. The fire that empowers God's sanctification, the fire that energizes the Holy Spirit's work of reforging and rebuilding our entire lives, is the revealed Word of God. What an image, fire. That's a unique and a powerful image. Fire is something that's kind of in between an inanimate object and a living thing, isn't it? I mean, it's not alive, but it eats, it moves, It creates energy and waste. It reproduces. It has so many characteristics of life. Jeremiah, remember, he spoke of God's word as almost like it were a living thing inside of him, trying to deal with it. What does it feel like when the Holy Spirit kindles God's word into a fire in your soul? What does that feel like? There's no one answer to that question. There's different aspects of fire. I mean, when God's word lifts up the Lord himself to your eyes, to the eyes of faith, when you behold his glory, the veil is taken away, as Paul would put it, by the work of the Spirit, and you see the glory of God, what you feel is sublime satisfaction. God's existence, his glory, is what gives weight, substance, meaning to everything. Your life is fulfilled by him. You're fulfilled by seeing him, by being with him, by being a part of what he does. The fire is bright, and it lights up the universe. But if what the Spirit is lifting up is not God, but if he's lifting up your sin, because he does that too, that's different, and it feels different. It's bad enough to be faced with sin by other sinners. When God speaks to you of sin that offends him, sin that's unworthy of him, your sin, the fire feels hot. Because fire eats. Fire consumes sin. The fire of the Spirit, he deeply removes the ingrained habits. He burns them out. And the experience is different still when the Spirit opens your eyes to see the needs of other people, to realize that they're just as important as you are. You see him in the flickering shadow of the cross, and the fire then feels warm. Something you want to share with folks coming in from the cold. Spirit's fire can be gloriously bright. It can be painfully hot. It can be lovingly warm. The trick is, if there is a trick, it's this. The trick is to let the Word of God get so close to you that it catches your soul on fire. For me, that is a conscious thing. It doesn't just happen. Never happens, just happens. It's a choice. It's a choice. It's an act. For me, reading alone is not enough. Reading the scripture, it's too easy for me to leave the words on the page when I walk away. I've got to hold those words. I've got to mentally just kind of pick up those words and hold them and weigh them. Get a sense of their heft. Let them shine and let them be a mirror to my soul so I can see myself through them. I have to talk to God. God didn't just use feelings to communicate with me. He used words to communicate with me. And I shouldn't be satisfied with just having my feelings. I got to talk to him. I got to struggle to put him into words. And for me, that means speaking out loud, because I don't talk to anybody else just by thinking. So it helps me to talk out loud all the time to him. And tell him how I feel, and tell him my fears. Just tell him. Ask him questions about what he said. Respectfully argue if I have to, but talk to him directly about what he has said. It feels like straining my soul through his word, and you see what goes through and you see what's left behind. And for me, the final step always, inevitably, the final step always is to rejoice that I belong to him and can do this, and to tell him out loud that no matter what I am and whatever condition he's found me in, I want to be like what the word says. I want to be like that. I want that. That's his work. That's his work in my heart. And that's when the Holy Spirit, sometimes when you bring that word close, a spark jumps over into you. You know what it's like? It feels like reigniting the pilot light in a gas furnace. You ever done that? Or a gas stove? You get the match close enough, and boom, you know? You can just feel it come back to life. The furnace of faith comes back again. I put out the Spirit's fire when I treat the Word of God with contempt. When I read the Word of Almighty God, or hear it preached, or a friend brings Scripture or a Scripture truth and applies it to me, or even when I faithfully share it with other people, and yet, do not let that truth get close enough to my soul so that it catches on fire. I treat prophecy with contempt when I decide I've had enough of change for a while. Thank you. I think I'm done for a while. I'm going to keep the Word of God at arm's length. I can still read it. I might even share it. I might even teach it. But it's arm's length from me. Until, of course, the fire inside of me goes out. The furnace of my faith shuts down. My whole spirit goes cold. And my spirit can shut down even while I'm busy doing other stuff. I don't even really notice it until I just kind of feel chilly, you know, inside. Christian, when was the last time the fire of God's Spirit, the Word of God, burned in you? Burned in you. The last time that the Word of God changed you in a meaningful way and God's sanctification moved on from your little remodeling projects into that room or that room of sin that you just hasn't even been touched. I mean, you want to stay in the kitchen where the remodeling is going on. God wants to go into these rooms that are still unusable to Him. When is the last time the Word of God motivated you to move some of your stuff, some of that junk you've held on to for years, move it outside to the sidewalk to finally be hauled away? Or the last time the Word ordered some new furniture and some new equipment to make your soul a better place to live and an oasis, a refuge in the community? When's the last time you revised your personal budget around the Word of God? Or revised your schedule? Or determined to love somebody who is virtually unlovable? You know, the way Jesus has loved you. When's the last time the Word of God's gotten inside of you and you see somebody and you know they need Christ and you just start praying, God, give me an opportunity to speak to them. Give me some way to share with them or witness to them. And it's okay to wait on God, but you don't wait passively. You keep asking Him for an opportunity until it comes up, because you have to. You have to. Or rejoicing in His blessings and not just ignoring that and to want to pass that along. Maybe send a note to your kid's teacher or to a public servant and just say, you know, thank you for what you're doing. You're a gift of God to me, whether you know it or not. When's the last time you felt because of something in the Word moved by something that moves God, that moves His heart, and you just stop and you go someplace and you get down literally on your knees and you pray to Him for His will to be done? We'll talk about prayer next week. Or maybe take on a mission. They used to call it in the Old Testament making a vow. Just because you want to. Well, something's burning inside, so you kind of have to. Now, dear friends, please, don't leave here feeling guilty or promising to God or to yourself that you're going to change somehow, because you know you can't. You can't change yourself. This is where Christianity parts company with all the self-help stuff out there. You can remodel your life a little, but you can't rebuild a flooded spirit, flooded with sin. You can't turn that into a great place for God to live. You can't create warmth and light without fire, fire you don't have. If you want fire, you bring the Word of God close to your soul and you see what the Holy Spirit kindles. Read through the Bible just to get to know it. Search the Bible for answers to questions you're asking right now. Select passages to meditate upon while you're shaving, while you're cooking, while you're walking the dog, while you're commuting. Talk about God's Word. You pay the salaries of several pastors here. Interpreting Scripture is why we're here. You know, use us. You elected elders and deacons because they know the Scriptures. Talk to them. You have friends who know the Bible better than you do, or at least are studying it along with you. Talk to them. Or buy a good study Bible or Bible dictionary and answer some of your own questions. Assume, Christian, assume that God wants to be in your life. He wants to live in you. And He doesn't want to live in a spiritual hovel. He intends to rebuild every part of you. He wants His energy to flood your soul, to bring up the heat so you can work together, to start up the generator, to power the tools that you need to get the job done. Bring the Word of God close. Bring it close to your spirit. until the Holy Spirit leaps the gap and kindles a fire inside, and the Lord resumes his work sanctifying you through and through. Let's pray. Father, thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your Son's work that's put us on speaking terms. It's great to know you hear us. Father, forgive us if we keep your word at arm's length. Oh, some of us just going to get real personal right now with you. Look, forgive us. Forgive us for keeping your word at arm's length. It's the same thing, Lord, as keeping you at arm's length. Lord God, today, in me and whoever else wants to join me, kindle afresh a refining fire. A fire kindled by your Spirit in the face of real life, where pressures and challenges come upon us and we have to decide how to respond, and your Spirit is right there with your word telling us your mind, telling us your truth. I pray, Father, for a fire kindled by your Spirit that will burn off and burn up and illuminate and brighten and then keep us wonderfully warm. A fire we can enjoy and share with others. Father, by your Spirit and your word, sanctify us through and through. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.